있습니다.
오케이. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I start thanking the organizers and in particular our European, our Italian partners. And just a word about Living Labs, because I think they are quite important for the story how this happened. Myself, I've been a founding member of the Living Lab movement, and also the first chairing the association, the organization, which today involves 345 Living Labs, and we estimate about 25,000 organizations are involved. And it was in that context that really the Urban Living Labs came. We started thinking about 6-7 years ago how the same methodology of bringing people together, co-designing and co-creating things could really be applied to the dynamics of the city. And later it came the human part, and I still remember with Jesse and a couple of others the discussion about how can we put the human element in the smart cities. And many options were discussed, but certainly, and I'm very glad that prevailed the human smart city. And thank you to Doug to noticing that that element. But certainly in my presentation, I will be talking not only about my neighborhood, but all this context where it happens. And certainly the previous speakers have been already raising some of the major aspects of the environment where we have been working, which is people are in first place, citizens are in first place. We should use the technology as enablers to achieve solutions that people have to identify in first place in a collaborative way. But I'm very much in favor of the bottom-up approach, but certainly we will need the top-down support as well. It's essential and it's part of the same equation. Okay, that's basically what I will be presenting on human smart cities in general, and presenting to you some of our own intervention in this process. And the challenge, the problems have been already raised by the previous speakers that come from the demographics, the emerging mega cities, the mobility, the environment impact, certainly food, water, sustainability, security, and we have security in many aspects, the world financial crisis. It's certainly one of the issues. And my own perspective is that we don't have any more, the state doesn't have any more resources to provide all the services in the way that we were used. But on the other hand, people are prepared to do a lot more volunteer work, and technology can support that. Certainly, my way of looking at social networks, etc., is to use them to create the virtual community, but migrate that virtual community towards the physical community, and certainly promote the interaction between people. And the most effective way is probably not in a very large environment, but it's the environment where and the space where people associate it to. Okay, that's where we are today in this evolution of the cities. They became places where human isolation and social exclusion exists. And that's one more recent problem that is happening. Really, also the lack of democracy, or transforming the democracy. Even democracy in itself needs to be innovated. This is just one of the recent outcomes of this in Brazil 4 or 5 months ago. And I am with a project in Brazil where I will share with you some of the initial findings on this claiming of digital, this claiming of more democracy. This is the roadmap that the European Commission created about 6 years ago to address the problems, this type of problems, very much technology-oriented, but I brought this here because the type of projects that we are describing, namely my neighborhood, are these CIP pilots, smart cities. And the IT vendors have addressed this in a different way, and we heard already again several examples of that, because they looked at the technology and they start selling and installing just infrastructure, sensoring, etc., and forgetting that really, despite saying that it's citizen center, they don't have really the best use many times of that technology, because the people are not involved, because the people don't feel empowered that they are part of that solution. And that's what we in our movement have been doing, is involving people and trying to understand how to create these communities, how to motivate them, how to gamify them, as we say nowadays. And from those million projects that Doug mentioned, certainly we can see already good examples of openness, transparency, to where trust is achieved. And trust is a pillar of all this community work that we are discussing. And with it, we can then collaborate, participate, and good examples, good results of these are the shared economy, are crowdfunding, are microfinance. This example comes from Brazil, where there are already a few hundred microbank organizations where nothing exists, working with real money and, of course, virtual money. But these are the positive side of the environment where we are, and we should take in consideration not only complaining and not only looking at the bad things, but very positive indications are there as well, like, and they were brought also by technology, not only. And one thing for sure, technology will not be enough to solve our problems. Most of the problems, or the solutions to the problems, are with us. And we need behavior transformation. And that's one of the areas, really, that we are concerned. That's how to achieve behavior transformation, if possible, supported by technology. And that provided us with the rationale for these human smart cities. Knowing the challenge, these social trends, the technological trends and already exist, provided the vision that the human smart cities brought. And that's our definition for human smart cities. Certainly, combining these technologies with infrastructure, architecture, etc., everyday objects to address social, economic, and environment problems. And having the government part of the process, able to engage and creating openness and be prepared to be engaged as well. And that's where we want to achieve, and that's an achievement of recreating the communities, the physical communities, as they use to be, as spaces of interaction and, of course, social inclusion. Now, I very briefly will introduce you to a few projects where we have been involved and we are involved, namely my neighborhood. It's not to look in detail today, but it will be on the website, tells you about the major segments of what a project like this can address, and we have been covering tools and methodologies to go from co-design, co-production, how to raise these communities, how to use open data, prepare the open data to be available, to be published, and to be to work and create a new service with them. This project Firewall is how all of it started, defining this roadmap for the smart cities, save energy established just with using IT, but IT as serious games, metering technology, and real-time information, how behavior transformation was achieved, and 25% has been reached just with behavior transformation on a consistent way. Citadel, where services are being designed, or methodology and templates to achieve them, CTSDK creating a toolkit that will facilitate not only the creation of apps, but also the interoperability, which is a major problem on the use of that. The storm cloud, how to migrate even existing service to the cloud. How can this be done? What kind of methodology can we use in order to take advantage of this? Certainly the periphery, which is really the major pillar where, and I will tell you a few things more about the periphery. It happened in Malmo, Bremen, Athens, Genoa, and Palmela, different arenas where from the smart street, addressing traffic and parking space, etc., to the smart CTO, where the CTO is mobile and goes to the people that don't have access, not even is access to the social networks. And we had 15 cities involved in the project, and basically this is an outline of the project. Jesse is smiling because he created the concept of the platform, a place where the ideas come in, where they can be ranked, discussed, and facilitate the process to achieve the service. And this is a roadmap that then one night together we arrived synthesizing exactly the many things that we had in methodology. We start with what we call today the WIN methodology: wishes, interests, and needs of people. And together with them, we started discovering what they are. And the platform allows to identify common issues and from there ranking challenges. And those challenges are published asking for ideas and solutions. Today it looks very easy, very clean, very simple, but that's the outcome of the project. The tools that has been created is this one, it's outside, I think, some examples of this. And also, at the end of the project, we launched the manifesto for human smart cities, and today I'm announcing the creation of the Human Smart Cities Network, and I will tell you a bit more how to join it. My neighborhood, basically, my neighborhood intends to use technology to support virtual environments that can migrate to the physical environment, to the physical community in a small space, a space where it is easy to meet people and to work together, and emulate in a way what communities used to be from 10,000 years ago, when fighting against the hostility of the environment, finding food, shelter, procreation was already part of that. And that's our vision, how to recreate this environment. The project has basically three phases. We started the project in January. We had recently a very good review and self-assessment also of the results so far, being on the building process of creating these communities, empowering them in a very, very active use of the co-design methodologies that I'm very much in favor, or we are. The ingredients that we use, and basically it's the Living Lab methodology, certainly is the co-design and co-creation methodologies, and the gamification to motivate people. And of course, the outcomes will be models, will be best practice cases, it will be all the platform itself, etc. One thing that I would like to share with you, and in particular in my neighborhood, we learned this in the field, and I probably in this project I was even more deeply involved in the field than in others, is that each project is really a context. You can take one project like this, what you find from one place to the other, but you need to adapt it to the context and to take in consideration things like, first, you don't have the trust of those people. You need to go through the process of getting that trust. Without it, you don't do anything. And you do that identifying who are the local communities, who are the stakeholders already, but not all of them are good to align with you. You need to understand what they are doing, and it's part of the motivation exercise. Then you select some, you tell them what is the project, and you align both. And then, of course, you reach the trust through the trust that already exists. This is just some images of these co-design and co-creation sessions. The same using the co-design methodology. Another thing that is in my neighborhood quite different of what these projects are many times is that the developers are together with us from day one. They participate in the co-design of these processes and the co-design of the platform itself. And I think this is an example of one of the sessions. And we are arriving at the services. And for instance, in the case of Moraria in Lisbon, that you will hear in more detail later, we trigger the interest of these people just providing good Wi-Fi to everybody. That was the trigger. No technology, it's just the trigger to involve people and to motivate people. That's the high-level architecture, of course, that will integrate with some other, because I mentioned at the beginning that many cities have gone through the process of having already some infrastructure, etc. That, of course, it's not, from our perspective of civic involvement, is not the major part, but we need to take care of linking both. This is the detail, and I mentioned that we are gamifying not only the services, but also the platform, and at the same time, looking from the very beginning about to the sustainability of this service. How will be this service explored? It will be public service, it will be private, how to share profits if they exist with the community, with the stakeholders. And let me bring just a few words, a few slides only, on the third project, the one I mentioned on innovating democracy. At first, and I'm now talking about Brazil, people were shocked. Nobody with the level of social innovation, action and policy that exists in Brazil, nobody was expecting these complaints and the way they happen on the streets. And the first reaction was to try to create a city platform or use city platforms to improve the dialogue that exists. But it's not enough. You need not only to listen, but you need to talk as well and to involve people in the process even of creating a policy. And this is the model that we are arriving. Talking, listening to people, but you need to create this kind of innovation city lab where the trust is. Because you cannot listen only to noise. You need to somehow to have this self-organized and to have the trust. That means that that city lab needs to have the trust of the government, but to have the trust of the people. And the process, we learn that the process of creating that city lab and the way and the people is part of the acceleration of this trust creation. Some examples, and I think Edward already mentioned about the this is more about process than about the products themselves. Some examples also of what we have been doing and we are doing on the Urban Living Lab. This is the network of the connected smart cities with about 70 cities and the ones where these projects are involved in 20. We have been involved in 27 cities, 16 countries, and with a strong interaction also with Brazil. The last two slides, Jesse. Today, as I said, we launched this global Human Smart Cities Network that started in May with a manifesto, then progressed with the ENOL, the European Network of Living Labs Summer School, the World Summit on Innovation and Entrepreneurship last week in New York, the conference we are today. And I take the opportunity to reinforce the invitation to Barcelona next month. Also, I would like to highlight the strong interest of the World Bank in working with us, listening, and contributing really to what we are doing. They are part of our advisory board, and we do expect that together, as it has been until now, we can add mutual value to these initiatives. We do a lot of networking, more or less, almost around the world. And the last slide, human smart cities use technologies, of course, to support people, to help to identify problems and create service to solve those problems. And I'm glad that looking at Doug, that I saw yesterday one of his cards mentioning exactly the good life, and my usual last words is using the WIN methodology to arrive at a better and happier society. And please, that's really the last one, in order to join the Human Smart Cities network that is already a site. You have here the link to that site. It's just printing the form, having it signed by the mayor, and then we will be announcing soon what is the next steps. But certainly one of the next steps is a large conference that will happen on the 24 and 25 of April next year. But we will work together to make it happen. Thank you very much. And thank you for your patience. Yes.
Grazie, mi sa che devo passare la parola alla prossima sessione, cui chiediamo scusa del ritardo, ma dovuto al ritardo del velivolo in arrivo. Grazie. Passo la parola, grazie Consiglio. Comunque un ringraziamento a tutti i relatori, veramente una sessione fantastica. Abbiamo visto questa bella visione e anche come si può realizzare. Grazie.
Ci prendiamo 5 minuti per preparare tutti i relatori. Invito i discussant a venire qua. Adesso metto